Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, September 1st, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 82, the third paragraph that starts with "An alcoholic is like a tornado." We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Joanne L., who will be reading the 12 steps, Linda B. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Kathy Jo P., Dion R., and Robin P. The share ID for Tuesday, August 31st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,660. That's 17,660. And this morning, Wednesday, September 1st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 17,665. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kathy R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Joanne.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Kathleen, and good morning, everybody. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island. This is the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our life had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. And Linda B., if you would read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Linda B., compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group but never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for this opportunity to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Linda B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. The meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 82, the third paragraph that begins with "An alcoholic is like a tornado." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Kathy Jo P. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. The alcoholic is like a tornado, roaring his way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken. Sweet relationships are dead. Affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. He is like the farmer who came out of his cyclone cellar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarked, "Don't see anything the matter here, Ma. Ain't it grand the wind stopped blowing?" And today, one thing I'm thinking about is, when I came back to these rooms after being on a 20-year relapse, I found out when I came back that my husband also was in relapse, and I started to focus on that, and I wanted to divorce him and move to Omaha. And a fellow said to me, "As you respond to this crisis, do you want to be broken or whole?" And thank God I listened and I was teachable, and I decided that I wanted to be whole and focus on my part of being the tornado, my part of mistreating my family, my mother, my kids, and my husband. And I made 61 amends. And I used to have somebody that I would talk to about 5 times a week for an hour, and I would give her my complaining list of people I was mad at, whether it was the soccer manager, a teacher, or another friend. I woke up every day with a laundry list of mad. Today, I don't have a list like that. I don't have people I'm mad at. Today, my focus is on how can I be of service and how can I make amends. And, you know, even though it says that sweet relationships are dead, I'm pretty sure there's no relationship in my life today that is dead. There might be relationships that are still mending. And what that means, again, is me making those living amends. And at times, it's letting them maybe lash out at me because I got the ball rolling, whether it was, you know, 3 months ago or 3 years ago or 15 years ago. I'm reminded about 2 years ago, I had open heart surgery and I came home for Thanksgiving and my brother did not treat me special. And I was mad at him. I did a 10 step and I actually did a fourth and fifth step with my sponsor. And when I finished, she looked at me and she said, "How do you treat your brother special?" And I realized again, my job is not for my brother to treat me special, but for me to treat him special and show up differently. And there's something liberating about it. There's something liberating about me looking at how am I the tornado? How am I the wrong person here? And then thank God I have fellows like you all that remind me I'm a child of God and that God loves me. And we are all children of God, and it just makes me feel so happy, joyous, and free. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. Okay, we're on page 82, the third paragraph, "An alcoholic is like a tornado." Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And who would like to comment on this paragraph this morning?
Jody E.
Jody E.
Christy M.
Christy M.
Penny LC.
Penny LC.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Aussie P.
What was the first name?
It's Aussie, O-S-S-I.
Okay, great. Thanks, Aussie. Aussie P. And I can take one more.
Dion R.
Dion R. Great. Great lineup. Thank you. So I have Jody E., Christy M., Penny L.C., Veronica B., Aussie P., and Dion R. So go ahead, please, Jody E. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic from California. This is a painful paragraph for me because I see that this was me. I was like a tornado roaring my way through the lives of others. Hearts were broken. Sweet relationships did all but die. Fortunately, they have not died altogether. Affections were uprooted, but the good news is that they have been restored. My marriage did not survive my disease and my recovery process, but the relationship with my former husband did survive, for which I'm very grateful. We have a good relationship today, and we wish each other well, and we can come together and be together with our daughter and with others, his partner, my friends, and have wonderful visits. But there was definitely damage done to the marriage because I was the tornado, completely self-centered, concerned about myself, my recovering from my disease, I thought very much about what I wanted out of the relationship and out of life. My little plans and designs were foremost, and I couldn't find a way to give those up. And, you know, over the years, it's been many years, I believe God's will is being done for myself and my former husband. And again, for that, I'm very grateful. And thanks to these 12 steps, we've had an amicable divorce and we are friends today. So these 12 steps are a way of life that does bring healing. And for that, I am so very grateful. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Jody E. And Christy M., you're up, followed by Penny LC. Go ahead, Christy.
Hi, this is Christy M., grateful, recovering, bulimic, anorexic, and compulsive overeater. And, you know, I really appreciate just the honesty of this passage. When I started OA, I could not see how much my disease was impacting me spiritually and emotionally. I just thought it was about the food. And if I could get the food figure out and if I could stop, you know, acting out my eating disorder. So I was so focused on the food and I was really, you know, drawn to the food plan. And I think one of the hardest parts for me about my fourth step is it really revealed to me the way how serious my disease showed up and my character defects and how much that was hurting the people that I cared about and damaging my relationships. I have a partner in another program and, you know, I was really good at taking his inventory and seeing, you know, how his disease impacted our family emotionally and spiritually. But somehow I thought, you know, my food disease was more righteous or somehow on like a higher plane than drug and alcohol use. And I just was not able to see how much this was impacting who I was, my character, how I showed up in the world. I reached my 1 year of abstinence this last July for my eating disorder. And I had a family member who came to visit this summer who hadn't been here or hadn't seen me since the summer before when I was active in my disease. And I'd asked her, you know, which of my kids had grown up the most or had grown the most. And she pulled me aside the following day and said, you know, I thought about that question that you asked me about who had changed the most since I'd last been here. And that the person who's changed the most is you. She said, there's just something about, and what she really pointed out was my relationship with my kids. She said, you are always a good mom, but you're just so close to them now. And it's just so different. And it's like sometimes, you know, when you're with your kids or somebody and they've grown a lot.
Christy, we lost you. You still there? You may have been in your car and gone out of.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Keep going.
I'll wrap up. Yeah, so it just was, it was just like this mirror about the work that I'd done in recovery and the 12 steps. And like what it really had changed was my heart. It had changed my emotional and spiritual state. And like I didn't know, I couldn't even see how much it was impacting my relationships with my kids or hurting the people around me. And having somebody from the outside and come and see that so clearly, it just showed me, you know, the miracle of this program, the miracle of the 12 steps, you know, and how much I don't ever want to go back to that place and how sick I really was. So I'm just grateful for this program and grateful that every day I'm a little less of a tornado than I was the day before. And just grateful that our higher power has this opportunity for us in this fellowship. So with that, I'll pass.
Great. Thanks, Christy M. And Penny LC, good morning. You're up, followed by Veronica B.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service. Good morning. This is Penny LC, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I can so relate to this paragraph, to the unthinking that sobriety was enough. You know, as long as I was losing weight, somehow I was okay. And everybody else needed to change. I was in so much denial about how you know, it wasn't just my abstinence that was going to be enough. I needed to do the work. And that went on for several years until I finally realized, and well, really what happened was my disease progressed until I had to face the fact that I was miserable and making everyone around me miserable, and yet pointing out all of their faults, and in such denial and delusion. It's just incredible now to think back about it, and to reflect on how I couldn't see anything was wrong. If people were following my script, the world was great. The only time there was a problem, that they weren't. And boy, oh boy. Grateful today that I can see it differently, that I can realize that the only script I need to be following is that of my higher power, to be seeking my higher power's will for me, and to let go of self-will, to let go of that denial and that delusion, and consequently there's a lot less destruction today. I'm grateful for it, and I'm grateful that I'm not doing this alone. Thanks everyone, have a good day. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC in Washington. And Veronica B, you're up, followed by Aussie P. Go ahead, Veronica.
Good morning. My name is Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. Overeaters Anonymous has helped me change who I am. Those 12 steps have helped me change. A relationship with God has helped me change. And this sentence is everything to me because, you know, once I put the food down, I'm still left with me, my thinking. And you know, my problem through doing the inventory and finding out my character defects that block me from God is that I am selfish and self-centered, and that I make decisions that later place me in a position to be hurt. And when I did my inventory, I saw how people dominated me. I let other people dominate me, and that really brought me a lot of suffering. And it brought me a lot of self-pity. So when I put the food down, I had to change that kind of thinking. Putting the food down was just the beginning. You know, once I got abstinent from my binge foods, then I had to work these steps so that I can have a personality change, so that I can have a sophistic psychic change to have a relationship with God. And it's in having that healthy relationship with God, because when I first got abstinence, I had a relationship with God. It just wasn't a healthy relationship with God. I had to, you know, work these steps and really get a new God of my understanding, a loving God of my understanding. So it was a process. And this, what they mean by this sentence is that, you know, OA, the 12 steps, it's a way of life. It's not a diet program, you know, because I've been at a healthy body weight since I came to OA, which is in July of 09. I've been at a healthy body weight. So why do I still come? I come for the sanity. I come because I'm a compulsive overeater and my life's unmanageable. And I have to continue this way of life. I continue to do my very best to live by these spiritual principles that guide me, and that if I do God's will always, always bring me this loving relationship with God, but I have to do my part. And that's what I mean, like, sobriety is just what a beginning. Like, I have to change everything about myself. So thank you so much for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. And Aussie P., you're up, followed by Dion R. Go ahead, Aussie.
Hi, my name is Aussie, and I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic. Thanks for everybody's share. It's funny, like, as I look at the way in which I was a tornado, I honestly didn't know any other way. I didn't know a different way of living or being. Like, that was my best thinking. I didn't have courage to speak up for myself. I didn't know how to do that. I would keep things, you know, to myself or talk to other people. And because I didn't know any other way, honestly, like, I didn't understand how to live life. Into my 40s, and I'm in my 40s, but, you know, I've been absent for 3 years, and I'm just recognizing, like, I didn't understand the value of being honest. I didn't understand it truly. I didn't understand so many things in the program. I sometimes equate it, like, I remember when I learned the multiplication tables, and they said, you know, 3 times 3 is 9, and I would just memorize it, but I never understood why. How did we get there? Like, the grouping process and the addition. And in an OA, I'm understanding it, like, the depth. I have an understanding, like, a depth, and I understand the values. And in my life, I was a tornado. Like, I didn't know how to walk up to my husband and say I wasn't happy. And my best thinking had me have an affair and hurt so many people. That's the tornado. Like, this is what I did. And I have a lot of compassion for myself, because as I get honest with myself about who I was, I also have to be extremely self-compassionate, because otherwise I'm going to feel a lot of shame. And so when I look at, like, this was my survival techniques, these were my strategies in my life, and they weren't working. And I was in the food. I mean, I just think of, as a bulimic, the tornado, like, the mess I would just leave in the bathroom. It would be just even in that way. And so today, like, I'm beyond grateful. You know, I'm making a lot of living amends. And some people, you know, like, the damage is done. Like, I cannot undo the wreckage. But, you know, in some regards, I can. With my kids, I make living amends. I focus on me and being the best mom that I can be, the best person that I can be. And that's only through these 12 steps. I honestly have grown up, and I've always been a late bloomer, but, like, and it's fine. You know, sometimes I used to hate that about myself, because I was always, like, so late to the party. Just, like, why am I growing up so, like, why am I always the last one there? And it's okay. Like, you know what? It is what it is. It's like, I understand it now, and I have the capacity to understand what it all means. And I didn't when I was 20 or in my 30s. And so this program has really, you know, I have grown up in this program, and I am grateful. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Aussie P. And Jan, before I take you, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 82, the third paragraph that begins with "an alcoholic is like a tornado." And I'll be taking more names to be commenting on that paragraph after Dion. So good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, all. Thank you for allowing me to share today on this paragraph, being a compulsive overeater, and just thinking back in the Incan today, if I don't stand the steps, be like the tornado, and how I ruined many lives. And like someone so sweetly shared, hearts were broken, sweet relationships dead. Some of them, you know, were unrepairable. Many became repairable and salvageable after working the 12 steps and being a part of the process. But I can also remember the relationships that were never able to be repaired, not because of that person. I thought it was that person. Things that I did, and my higher power let me see the truth, and how that same thing of victimizing myself, being the victim, and how that I couldn't see my part. I was in denial, you know, of course, Over with Anonymous and many other fellowship remind me that the denial is deadly. And I didn't even know I was lying. I thought I was the victim. And the world, you, they had done it to me. My main thing of being, when I got on sober ground, where I could think straight after using food and other addictions to fix me, was to find out why and what happened. What made me feel and be and act that way? After finding out, it's like, oh, I played that victim card too long. Many sponsors would encourage me, either keep going forward or you're going to go backwards. And today, after 23 years of hard-hitting, trying to play that victim role, almost 10 years now, just being able to say, okay, I can receive that. It hurts. I feel my feelings. That's another thing. I was denying that I had a feeling. Or if you had a feeling, you're supposed to hide it. Don't let no one know. Today, I can be honest with myself and at least one other compulsive overeater and definitely my higher power to let me know that, I did that. But also the other good part of it is, what am I doing now? So, you know, my higher power gave me grace to see that you're not there anymore. And he will restore relationships and has, and many others, as I continue to move forward to the road of recovery. And with that, I'll pass. And thanks for allowing me to share. Thanks for your service, Kathleen.
And thank you, Dion R. Okay, we're on page 82, the third paragraph, An Alcoholic is Like a Tornado. And who else would like to share on this paragraph?
This is Wendy W. in Oregon. I'd like to share.
Okay, Wendy W. in Oregon.
Deb E.
Deb E.
Kelly H.
Kelly H. Very easy to share. You just have to press star 1 to unmute and give me your
Eileen
name.
Eileen D.
Eileen D.
Marie.
Okay, I heard, I think I heard Carrie, and was it a Tom?
Tom L.
Marie.
Yeah.
Tom L. And was Carrie in there?
Marie. Marie B.
Oh, Marie B. Okay, let's stop right there. That's great. Thank you. Okay, so I have Wendy W., Deb E., Kelly H., Eileen D., Tom L., and Marie B. So go ahead, please, Wendy W.
Thanks so much, Wendy W. in Oregon. And wow, this paragraph is really coming alive for me today. I did come into program strictly to get out of the pain from compulsively eating. I thought that Alcoholics Anonymous was written primarily for alcoholics, and even though I could see some similarities, I thought compulsive eating is different. I hurt myself. I don't hurt anybody else. If anything, I'm the codependent one who, who's constantly helping everybody and not taking care of my own needs. That's why I eat. I didn't realize how really toxic my behaviors were. And, the thought to be kind and of service and tolerant, when I would read that in the big book, that felt so threatening to me because how could I protect my rights, my boundaries? But I have learned that the paradox in this program is that when I help others, I am more whole. The chaos in my outer life has all the ingredients still of my former life before program. Some of the situations haven't changed and it's not in my power to change them, but I change daily and I've never felt more whole than I do now because this program really is filled with glorious, glorious paradoxes. I surrender what I think I absolutely must have to get what I never realized I needed. It took me 3 very long decades to discover the transformative power of these steps. My relationships are totally different. And that began with my relationship with myself, my relationship with my higher power. I thought I would stop eating compulsively because I wanted to stop feeling bad, but today I cherish my abstinence and would never leave this program because I don't want to give up the feeling of wholeness that I have, both within myself and within now all of my relationships that are so much closer, so much more intimate, and still I have healthier boundaries than ever. So this program has given me more than I ever expected or knew I needed. And I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share today.
And thank you, Wendy W. in Oregon. And Debbie, you're up, followed by Kelly H. Good morning, Deb.
Hi there. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I got on the meeting late, so I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone was saying at the beginning when I listen to it again. But this paragraph has taken on new meaning for me. For a long time, I read it, and it just kind of felt like another paragraph. I didn't really feel how it applied to me in particular, because I never thought, you know, I thought when I was compulsively overeating, I didn't think there was any way possible that I was hurting anyone but myself. And hurting myself didn't really matter because I didn't think that I mattered enough. And both those things are completely wrong. And, you know, over the years, as I've done step work, I've seen exactly how I've hurt others and how much I've hurt myself with this disease. And so I kind of went from reading this paragraph like I was reading about just other people's experience to going like, oh my gosh, this really applies to me and my life and my experience. I have situations where I was like a tornado, and I never would have guessed that because, you know, I always would think of myself, like I'd never think of myself as selfish, never think of myself as hurting anyone. It was quite the contrary. I think like I was always so nice to everyone, always the people pleaser, always like putting everything I wanted and what I really thought, or putting all that aside just to kind of fit in what I thought was fitting in. And this sentence here, we feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. And, you know, I came to OA because I thought the only thing I needed to take care of, like as if it was something I could just like check off a list, you know, was my problem with food, was the issues I was having with food. And that's just the surface, you know. When I look under the surface, then I see the tornado I was. I see how hearts were broken. I see how relationships were affected. I see all this. And, you know, and the way he comes up out of the cellar and he's like, I don't see anything wrong here. Like, what's the problem? Why the glum, you know, faces? And I was that unaware. I had no idea the damage that I caused. And that's what's amazing about this work is, you know, I came in thinking I just wanted to kind of fix my food and my weight, and I've become a much deeper, much better person because of that, because that trying to fix my food and my weight led me to a whole spiritual experience and a spiritual way of living that I don't know if I would have been able to get to any other way. So with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Debbie in Israel. And Kelly H., you're up, followed by Eileen D. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you so much for your service and for all the amazing shares that are causing me to think. I am away from my big book, but I know this paragraph well. I think I forgot to announce myself. I'm Kelly H., a compulsive overeater, recovered in North Carolina. And I probably, like most people, I tend to hear this paragraph in the accent and in the voice of my sponsor, who read the big book to me in the first reading. And so her beautiful Southern accent just makes me relive this paragraph in vivid color. I grew up in Southern California. So the catastrophes, the geological catastrophes, were caused by earthquakes. And I have been rather blasé about, you know, counts on the Richter scale. I've been through big earthquakes. I know what the little ones do and the big ones do. And I know what catastrophe looks like. So moving to North Carolina, Western North Carolina, where we do get effects of hurricanes and tornadoes, my first tornado alert warning was very alarming. And I have seen the firsthand accounts of what a tornado can now do. So in my recovery program, I think I do have a rather blasé attitude about alerts and notices, such as when I am in steps 1 through 11 and I'm doing okay, but the slide of not doing step 12, where's your service, Kelly? Where's your service? Those warnings kind of get washed away. Oh, I'll get to it. I'll do it. I'll seek shelter if it gets a little more scary. And I have heard so many shares about how when we relapse, it's not the food that's the first sign. That's like the last sign that I got into the food. It's the loss of service. It's the loss of step 11. Where is your God, Kelly? Where is your God? I don't know. He's somewhere. If I have that kind of behavior and I'm not serving, man, I am totally disregarding all the warning signs, and I'm not heeding to the actual cause and effect that catastrophe is coming. Seek shelter now. So with all the shares and the beauty of this paragraph, I am seeking shelter now. I need to get back into service, and by sharing today, I'm really seeking that shelter. So thanks for listening. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kelly H. in North Carolina. And Eileen D., you're up, followed by Tom L.
Yes,
good
morning.
Eileen.
Hi, thanks. This is Eileen D. from Maryland. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service and for all those who shared. In reading the paragraph, you know, the first thing that jumped out at me, we feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. Well, I knew when I came into program that I had an unhealthy relationship with food. That much I knew. However, I didn't know that food is only the outside manifestation for me that pointed to an inside void. And so I had a God. I still have my God. But I didn't think my God, I should go to him for this. Or for this particular thing called overeating. So it was a lot of pride. I mean, I think my hubris was just eating at me, literally. And it took being, you know, hitting rock bottom to walk into a new city with someone who had 12-stepped me. And I walked with her into my first real meeting and felt like the concrete walls of that new city were crumbling. And I was at home, and that was the beginning of my journey of why food had just taken over, because I wasn't willing to look at why I was hurting or what was going on within me. Why did I think I could solve all the problems when I needed God? You know, I needed to go to God. And so that was a really, really important step, you know, the first step. And from then on, life experiences and the steps and sponsors and program and service have really given me this real depth of living that is only available. And it's not about diet and calories. You know, people constantly are saying lately, what's your secret? Well, you look so good. Like, you know, it's been a process for years, and now it kind of showed up. And so I can only tell them, you know, it's not that. If you have time, I'll tell you about where I've been and what I'm in, what I was given, and it's my joy to 12-step. If people don't take it, that's up to them. But for me, this has been such a life-affirming, changing you know, lifestyle that I can only thank God and all of you for helping me on the journey. So thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Eileen D. and Marilyn. And I don't think we're going to have time for both Tom and Marie. So go ahead, Tom. And Marie, we might have to wait for you tomorrow, but let's see how this goes.
I'll,
so go
I'll
ahead,
do
please, Tom.
A one-minute share.
Okay.
I'm Tom L. I'm a newcomer. I've been absent about 48 days or so. I am working with a sponsor. I've spent several years in relapse, and yes, I gained 100 pounds back. I was heavier at some parts of my life, but inconsiderate habits over this last several years. I did overeat, but I also ignored my family, neglected my job, and neglected my health. My life has become destroyed, and it has hurt many people, including my wife, my grandson, and my parents. So I'm in that wreckage right now, and today I walked with my sponsor. Is reading me through the beginning of through step three today, and into the beginning of step four, and to see the results of running my life on my own, myself, and not seeking, not asking for help, and thinking I know the best way. So I am that farmer. I'm in that thing, and I'm just glad to be here and hear all the great shares today. So have a great day.
Thank you, Tom L. Good to have you here. Okay, Marie B., you have about 2 minutes. Go ahead, please, Marie.
Okay, I'll make it fast. Thank you. Thank you for your service. This is Marie B., and I'm from Texas. And I'll just say quickly, when I went through I came back in March, and when I went through the fourth step, I wrote down the amends that I thought that I owed to my family. And I made those amends, but they were more specifically events that had occurred where I owed an apology and I owed an amends and a different way of acting going forward. And it took a few months as I was coming into my spiritual awakening that this paragraph came to life, and I realized there's so much more damage than what I initially listed on my in my fourth step, and that I have a lot more work to do. I have to dig a little deeper and do some repairs with my family. And that didn't come up in my fourth step. I think a fourth step does kind of take out that first, I don't know, outer layer. And for me, allowed me to really look not at a specific event, but life in general and how I handled my family. I've got a lot of work to do, and I'm working on it. And you know, with the help of God and His grace, I can repair this damage. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Marie B. in Texas. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. Really beautiful shares. Okay, we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Dion R., would you please read a vision for you? Star one to unmute, Dion.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Kathleen, and everyone shared. Allow me to be a service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And I pass.